It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I know a lot of you want to know. We're watching Reds Padres today. That's our game day showtime entertainment in here is Reds Padres. Terry Francona's Reds lead 3-2 in the seventh. Just looking at Francona during the break, I asked Bulldog, where do you think he ranks all time in wins, manager wins? Top 20? And you said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. He's 11th all time in wins.
Good thing you didn't ask top 10. And I answered affirmatively.
Would you have said yes to top 10? I would not have.
I don't think I would have. Top 20, I felt like, was safer. Yeah.
Okay. My asking top 20 was my kind of saying, I don't know. But 11th. And he's the only active manager with more than 1,000 wins. And he has 2,065. So no one is on his heels.
No one's touching him for a while. Yeah, right.
First all-time, so 2,065. First all-time is Connie Mack, 3,731. And then second is Tony La Russa, 28. John McGraw, the late Bobby Cox, Joe Torre. I mean, a couple more, what's a good year? 90 wins?
Yeah.
Five 90-win seasons, 450, gets him to fourth. How old a guy is he? Played in the 80s.
Yeah.
65?
I would guess he's in his 70s.
67.
Okay, good job about you.
He's from South Dakota.
I never knew that.
Terry Francona. Who I've never wanted to call Tito because his dad was Tito.
Right.
We already have a Tito Francona, but everybody calls him Tito.
Right.
His dad was a ball player. It's kind of interesting that he would have been born in South Dakota. A lot of players are born where their dads played.
Right.
Maybe that was the case. He was in the minors or something at that time. I don't know.
Philly's the dad? Or am I might be conflating Francona's career with the Phillies as a manager, right? He's the manager of that bunch that lost to the Blue Jays, right? Is he there for that?
93? No.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Jim Fregosi.
Oh, right. Okay.
Fur. You got the fur.
Yeah.
The fur.
He did at least manage the Phillies for a time, though, Francona.
He did.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't completely high.
Phillies, Red Sox. How many titles is that of the four?
I think it's the first two only. Cora's the last one. I think it's the first two. I think by the time they win in 13, it's somebody else. John Farrell, maybe.
Okay.
He was only the manager for a short time, but I think maybe he won a World Series there. So I think Francona's only 04 and 07.
Okay, I think you're right. Then he goes to Cleveland for a while.
Yeah, he's there a long time.
Such a likable baseball guy.
Yeah.
Baseball lifer, Terry Francona, right. Now with the Reds.
Yeah.
And he was out of the game, seemingly maybe retired, and... returned after a couple, or at least 1 year away from Cleveland. He'd be in this, what?
There was a, I don't have it exactly. There was recently, I think somebody on his team or in a game they were playing, somebody got hit in a, the lower abdominal region, and it was revealed that this player was not wearing a cup. And Francona, like, afterwards was just like, I put the cup on as soon as I get in as soon as I get to work. Like, it's such a habit for
him.
Like,
as a manager?
Yeah, I swear to God, it was he. No, you know what? I'm conflating two different stories. There's something else about walking around naked, I think, too, that he's pretty, like, it's a clubhouse. That's what you do. You walk around naked in the clubhouse. He's one of those guys. He's the old guy at the gym. I think that's it. I apologize if I'm conflating different stories about Francona. But anyway.
Probably done it.
I mean, it's impossible. I mean, he's the manager of the Red Sox team that breaks the curse. He's one of my favorite figures in baseball.
Is he your all-time manager favorite? I have mine.
I guess maybe. I really liked Don Zimmer, and he's the Red Sox manager in '78.
Bucky Dent.
Yeah. And I liked him so much as a kid. And even, you know, later he's a bench coach with the Yankees. I still love Don Zimmer. He's just a very likable baseball character, yeah. I would say. But Francona, probably, if I had to really sit down and think about it, yeah, I mean, that team, I mean, it's one of the greatest stories in baseball, is that they came back from 3-0 down and beat the Yankees, and then so yeah, he'd be my answer, I think.
Did you dislike Joe Torre?
No.
Me neither.
No, I did not dislike Joe. I like
Joe Torre.
Yeah.
Not a Yankees fan, but I liked him.
Yeah.
Mine's got to be Davey.
Right.
86 Mets. I mean, I don't know how good of a job he did. I don't know. Is that always the thing with managers?
It's, like, yeah, you probably want to give him some degree of, well, he held it all together. There were a lot of, it's like Marv with the Bill, a lot of strong personalities there, and they managed to, you know, there was fighting, there was dissension even on the team. They were like a brawling, you know, beer blast kind of team, I think, and they got it done. So there's some art to that. Like, even if it's chaos, like, I had to allow the chaos. I knew enough not to interrupt the chaos because this is who they are, and they're doing their thing.
I watch Game 6, Game 7, 86 World Series often. I rewatch those games, you know. Every once in a while, I got nothing to do. That is something I'll think about, you know, fairly often. And I think it's Game 7. That would make sense. There's an interview, Davey Johnson is interviewed in the dugout before the game by Joe Garagiola. And a couple of the questions were along the lines of, all right, so what's your message? You know, what have you told the starting pitcher, who I think was Game 7? Might have been Ojeda or Darling. I don't even know. It's embarrassing. But, like, one question is, so what did you say? This is Game 7 of the World Series. Like, what's your message to the guys? Like, I don't really have one. You know, they know what to do. I don't really think I need to tell them what to do at this point. And I love that.
They don't need a fiery, this is the moment of your lives speech from me here.
No, and he says it just like that, too. I don't really have a message, Joe. I just, you know.
Yeah.
It's up to them at this point.
It's game 188 or you whatever.
I love that. I mean, instead of, I don't want there to be a message. And if there isn't one, I don't want you to pretend that there's like this message. Just, you know, be real. And he was like, oh, well, you know, I really don't know what to say at this point.
Actually, Joe, it's in God's hands.
He could have said that.
Back to you, Al.
And then in the second question is about, like, again, talking to the starting pitcher before the game. Like, what do you want to, you know, see him do, or what do you, like, it's really not really. He's got it. I mean, I don't really need to tell him what to do at this point. And no part of him is standoffish or difficult.
Right. It's just matter of fact.
You know what, Joe? He doesn't make fun of Joe. He's not difficult. He just sort of says, yeah, well.
I'd like him to throw some strikes. It'd be good.
You know, we've kind of said it all at this point, and just one more game. We'll see what happens. Okay, Davey. Back to you, Vin, right? I mean, just.
Yeah.
I love that about Johnson. That was my team. If I were a little bit older, maybe I would have gotten Sparky Anderson. I don't really have a take on Sparky Anderson.
The Reds were my first crush as a you know, it's the first stadium I went to. I went there twice before I went to any other stadium, I'm pretty sure, Riverfront. And the guy's name is Sparky.
Sparky.
Like, you're
George Sparky Anderson.
You're 8 years old. There's a guy named Sparky on TV. I like that guy.
He cast a certain figure.
Yes, he did.
He was kind of small.
Small, and he walked with the hands in the back pockets.
The hands in the back pockets.
That is such a move. Nobody.
Isn't that the best?
Nobody. I mean, nobody does that anymore. Walking around with the hands in the back pockets. Like, you're I think, throwing up a flag that says, I'm a rube. If you're walking around with your hands in both back pockets.
Oh, you think it's bad?
I just got to the big city. What's going on in here? Huh? Oh, they got some tall buildings. Like, I don't know. The hands in the back pockets. That's just like.
Well, in fairness, there are no front pockets.
I just got off the bus in Times Square.
There are no front pockets on baseball pants.
That's a good point.
The only pockets you have are back pockets.
We're sure about that?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He did do that. I love that you thought of that. He did do that, yep. Anderson. And no one else did that?
I don't remember.
There have to be other guys who did that.
Probably.
They're the only pockets you have.
But
you want some pockets, those are your pockets.
Yeah.
But he would walk to the mound.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
Unless he had the jacket on.
He had the jacket on, and then the hands were in the front pockets. But he did not walk with his hands at his sides at all.
I'm walking to the mound now.
I guess I got to admit I'm not even sure he had hands at this point. That's where I'm at on Sparky
Anderson. Does a manager need hands?
Right.
We learned from Sal he needs a voice. We don't know if he needs hands. The third base coach needs hands.
How would he fill out the lineup card? You're going to have somebody else do that. It. Right. That's fine.
He just has to be able to speak.
You know.
Sparky Anderson talk. No one else is doing that today.
Just days you walk out of a job like this and just think, I got to say that today.
That was really fun.
What the heck?
Somewhat continuing along these lines, card of the day just posted. My staff was a little bit late to this today. Card of the day. Take a look at this card, Bulldog, if you don't mind.
I'm on my way.
On Twitter, 1982 Fleer Baseball, Gaylord Perry, Hall of Famer, just like Anderson. Hall of Fame pitcher, Gaylord Perry. There is a lot to say about this picture. Not everybody can look at it right now. 82 Fleer, if you want to see it when you get home. It's on the stream now, too. Thank you.
Mm.
He is sitting in a chair with a... What is this chair? He is sitting on a cushion? He's sitting on a box? He's sitting on something on a chair with a bat across his lap and two hands on the bat, which he's a pitcher, by the way. And he's not playing baseball here. He's just sitting there. Nobody else is in the shot. What is this background? Like maybe up against a bullpen wall or something? There's dirt. Yeah. And then you've got these wires going on behind him. What are those wires?
TV stuff or something. Maybe this is a camera bay.
So is he maybe behind the plate? Or off to the side behind the plate?
Like where those camera bays, I think, are on either side of the dugout.
Okay, like up the line by the dugout.
Yeah, is where I'm thinking that could be there.
But there's just no signage. There's no visible sign of anything else.
There wouldn't have been much signage.
No, that's right.
Anywhere, really, in those days.
That's right. On the outfield walls, there would be signs. There'd be logos.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. I'm guessing maybe this is Philadelphia, but look at this frumpy... He's got gray sideburns.
Yeah, this is not.
He's late in his career.
Yep.
He's staring down the camera person probably, and I would think the person taking this picture is pretty far away, because it's not a close up. It's just you can see his whole body is in the picture sitting. What is he sitting on?
That's a chair, and what I think he's doing, because it looks a little like it's a folding chair and it's folding up on him, but I think what he's doing is leaning back on the rear two legs and the front two legs are off the ground. You can see right behind
his
left leg, you can see the one leg of the chair that is up off the ground, I think. And then actually, I see the one behind his right leg now, too. So I'm sure that's what he's doing.
He's
leaning back in a chair, that dangerous game that you like to play when you're a little kid, maybe even at a restaurant. Let me see if I can balance on the... Oh! Right?
He's up against the wall.
He's up against the wall, so there's some... He's got, you know, he's not up on the high wire.
This is kind of fun and comfortable. And he's just sitting... So he's maybe sitting next to a dugout with a bat on his lap, doing that with the chair. And somebody is like out at third base maybe and takes the picture of him, and it's on a baseball card.
And where does a chair like that exactly come from?
I know.
Is that, do they have a stack of those like lawn chairs in the dugout or in the clubhouse or in the tunnel between the dugout and the clubhouse? And like, these are here for your convenience if you'd like to have a picnic on the warning track. Like, I don't understand what the chair is doing there.
That chair would be for like a bat boy.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's right. That makes sense.
Maybe he's the bat boy.
Or a ball boy. He is holding up the line even. Yeah.
He is holding a bat in his lap.
Right.
And he's not holding it by the handle.
No.
Have you ever held a bat like that?
I don't think he's actually holding it. It's lying across his lap.
Okay, but his hands are in front of it?
His wrists are on the bat. I think his wrists are resting on the bat, and his fingers are almost touching the chair.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't want to accuse him of holding the bat in a weird way, because it looks like it's just laying there.
Well, I'll tell you what, Gaylord Perry. If somebody's taking batting practice right now and fouls one in your direction, you're not going to get that bat in position to have much defense.
You're in real trouble.
You're down. You're in trouble.
And you're leaning back on two legs of the chair, and even though that wall is there, you might take a topple if a screaming liner comes your way.
I do not have a fond opinion of Gaylord Perry. It's not because of this picture.
It's because he cheated.
It's that Posnanski book that did the top 100. I think it was called the baseball 100. And there's a chapter on him, and it's not flattering.
Mm. Can I ask for details?
Do you I don't really remember details.
Remember details?
I just know that I came away like sort of
ew.
Eh.
Yeah.
Like Negro didn't cheat like Perry with the spitter, but Negro comes off. I loved his chapter in the book. And the part, I told you this story. His 300th win, Phil Negro, at Toronto, day after the Blue Jays clinch in 85. So it's like not an important game. Maybe all the backups are in for the Blue Jays. And Negro decided he was going to win his 300th game and not throw one knuckleball. So he went 8 no-hit innings.
Really?
Without throwing one knuckleball. The legend has it.
He just kept sneaking everything by people because they're waiting for the knuckleball.
And they're all hungover because they won the pennant, the division the day before. So something like that. Like he's last game of the season, Negro is going for 300th win, and he goes 8 no-hit innings without throwing a knuckleball. And he would never have come out in the 80s.
Right.
It's the last game of the year anyway. And he could have probably thrown 200 pitches in a game the way he pitched. Right. So then his brother comes out. Joe Negro was on the team. And he comes out to catch the warm-up inning in the ninth. Maybe on purpose, or maybe the catcher had just batted.
But, okay.
So, poetic here. Joe Negro is going to come out to catch the warm-up pitches for the ninth. And he might have thrown a knuckleball to his brother warming up. And then he decided to do it. And somebody got a hit.
Oh, no.
So he lost a no-hitter, but I think he might have gotten the shutout. He won the game. 300 wins.
But didn't one of those two, isn't there a famous?
Emery Board. That was right. Joe Negro.
Okay, all right, not Phil. Yeah.
And the last part of that
chapter.
The umpire
comes out, if you don't know it, like the umpire comes out, he's got this thing in his back pocket, and he pulls it out of his back pocket and flips it away like you would try to do if you got pulled over and you're trying to get something out the window. Like he's just like, all right, what are you talking about? I don't have an Emery Board.
Back to the back pockets.
right.
More back pockets. In the Negro chapter, his dad was very ill at the time of that game, too, and was listening from a hospital. And it mentions that, and then it mentions that when Phil Negro was a prospect, was coming up and being scouted, somebody went to his house and said, how's whatever the number is? How's $100 a week? Something like that, to pitch in our system. And the dad said, we can't afford that. The dad thought the scout was charging them.
Right.
To pitch for the Braves or whoever.
Yeah.
Our chat with Joe Goodberry next on WGR.